Wow. Nelson was just showing me a picture that Mike Raley had sent from the deck of the ship that they're on up in Norway. Good morning, friends. Tom Campbell here, sitting in for Mike Raley, who, as I just said, is in Norway on a vacation. Nelson Cox and Rufus are here, as usual, on Weekend Gardener. Joel, do we still have that patient caller? Yeah. Let's talk with him, please. Let me start off by saying I apologize to you for keeping you on hold for so long. It was rude, but we knew that we had a call coming in from Mike and just wanted to be able to get a conversation with him from Norway. How are you this morning? What can we do for you?
Well, this is Stephen Garner.
Oh, Stephen.
Yeah. Hey, Steve.
Yeah. And we had how many today?
190.
We had 196. Of our clumps blooming today.
Wow.
So it's dropped off quite a bit, but it's still pretty out there. I hope Mike got a free cruise out of this as much as you guys advertised Viking cruises.
I don't know.
He didn't, but have you ever been on one?
No, I've been on a cruise, but not a Viking, no.
Well, I will tell you, I've been on lots of both, one Viking and lots of the other. But I'll tell you, if you ever go that, I told Nelson, they are the Disney of cruise lines. I mean, they just do it right. They do everything. They thought of everything, and it's just.
Well, we're at the point now where if we're going to spend that much money, we're going to go on a road trip and visit the national parks again.
Okay.
So, right. Well, by the way, Steve, I wanted to tell you, the daylily, the one I call the mama daylily, is now that beautiful thing that I brought one time, Nelson. I don't know whether you were there or not. We had a daylily show at North Hills.
Yeah.
And I brought the thing to get Steve to identify it. Well, Steve walked up and said, "Why don't you just enter that daylily?" And somebody fixed it up and puffed it up, and it was like doing makeup. And I'll be dogged, about 2 o'clock. Steve called and said, "Well, you won a first prize." And I have never been delighted in my life. And that baby is back. I've divided it several times. And I call it the Mama Daylily.
That's it.
And I don't remember which one it was, Steve. Do you have any recollection of that?
It was the Flora Plena.
Oh, boy.
Flora Plena.
Oh, boy. Okay.
That's one of those, it's a beautiful daylily, but it is one of those ditch daylily.
Well, that's what was so special about it.
Yeah, and your crepe myrtle is blooming. The one that I got at one of the shows you got, the one of the remotes you were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
It is about 20 feet tall, and is blooming now.
Wow, has that thing grown?
It has. We'll bring a picture next time we come to one of your remotes.
Yeah. What color was that one, Steve?
White.
Uh-huh. Now, what about, I don't have any white daylilies.
Oh, well, we'll bring you one next time we come to a remote.
Okay, wonderful. Tom,
yes, they make them in white. They just don't make them in blue.
Well, someday somebody's going to do that, and it might be
it
you.
It would be a Dr. Frankenstein that does that, but that's okay. It would have to be very genetically maneuvered.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to start irrigating because we're not getting regular rain, so I got to get my irrigation system working.
Well, yeah. You need it now.
Sure do.
Yeah. Anyway, just thought I'd check in with you guys. I'm still here.
Well, thank you, sir.
Stay
ahead, cool.
Steve, and do that again, how people can come see your Just One More Garden.
Oh, yeah. If you want to come, my garden is open for tours. Even if we're not here, you can come and walk through. But if you go to the Raleigh Daylily Club website, there is a tab at the bottom called Other. If you click on that, and then there's a tab called Display Gardens. My display garden is called Just One More, and my phone number and address are on there, so you're welcome to come.
Thank you, Steve. Y'all stay.
And so far this year, we've only had two visitors.
Wow. Wow.
Unlike last year, we had several tours that came from other clubs that came by and saw our garden. But this year, and if you come, I won't let you leave without a plant.
How about that?
Can't beat that.
Yep, that's
all
a good
right.
deal. Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
Sure
appreciate
enough.
You calling. You talk about plants that Rufus has given you, in addition to the ginger lilies I was talking about off the air. Rufus has given me some Lord Baltimore hibiscus.
Oh, yeah.
Rufus, you should see those bloom, those bright red blooms. They look like dinner plates. They're so big.
Yeah. Well, I've got you something out there now called Solomon's Seal.
Okay.
That is...
Joe Mavredick wants you to give him one of those Lord Baltimores.
We'll find him one.
I'll tell you, that would make him a happy man.
The plant that he brought you today is somewhat of a native. It's a polygonium.
Yes.
Shade lover, but it's a fun plant.
And we'll grow in a minuscule little bloom, little white bloom.
Yep.
And evergreen. And just a perfect thing to put somewhere in the shade, and it will multiply. Now, it's not invasive, but I'm not going to put that on you again.
Yeah, the black and blue salvia my sister-in-law gave me is about to take over my back garden.
I don't even want to ask you about your Rose of Sharon.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. The children are having children. I'm giving that stuff away just as fast as I mean.
Well, they're good little gifts.
They are. They are.
Yeah. Just have some pots handy.
They love
one of
heat.
My neighbors belongs to Methodist Church on Whitakerville Road, and so every once in a while she'll come by and I'll dig up some Rose of Sharon and give them to her. And she says that the people come; they have a community garden there.
Yeah.
And she says that people just love them. But but I've got the purple. I've got the white.
Pure white. That one.
Pure white.
We've got a nice pure white one, and we have the white with the red eye.
Yeah. Well, they just
purple, lavender.
They just take over,
pink.
But they are so beautiful.
And we got a pink, a peach.
The first one you gave me is probably 25 feet tall now.
Yeah. Well, it'll droop over, and they don't. They have a not a very strong root system. And
no, they don't.
No, they do.
They're easy to dig.
They do.
Do they?
When they're young, but when you get a big one, they are. Very hard to dig out.
Well, because it spreads, but they will lean over is what I'm talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
They will fall over. But I do have something. I've got to have to give all of you one of these. It is at least 30 feet tall.
What is it?
Oh, my.
Rose of Sharon.
Oh, really?
Oh.
What color?
Purple.
Okay.
Purple.
Well, I've got a pink one.
I've never seen one grow that tall, and it almost grows like a conifer.
Wow.
Huh. So I hope that has babies.
By the way, if you would like to call in and participate today, the number is 919-860-9783. We'd be delighted to talk to you. Hopefully we won't make you wait as long as we did with Steve. Yeah.
Well, Tom, I'm always happy when I learn that we have new listeners. Wake Spine and Pain. I went in there the other day for a little neck problem, and this lady named Jennifer, a wonderful PA, she said, "You're not the Rufus on the garden thing, are you? Never mind, you know, Watergate and stuff like that."
Wait, let me teach you how to respond to something like that. Oh, do you like him?
Yeah.
Oh, do you like him?
I always hesitate.
Twin brother.
I always hesitate. I said, "Well, yes, I am." She said, "Well, I've learned so much," and she is said, "I'm from up north," and then her sidekick is Kelsey. She is going to be a new listener, and so every time we get new people,
that's great.
I'm tickled to death because this show has a wide range of listeners, all ages. Somebody said one time, "Well, is anybody on listen to that show under 75 or 80 years old?" I said, "You're doggone right. There are a few of them here and there."
Well, it is really interesting because no more than I'm on from time to time. It's getting to a point. I'm getting kind of like Bill Friday. Bill Friday, if you remember, was president of the university system from its formation until the late 80s. And everybody just knew of him as, you know, Dr. Friday, president of the university system. But he was also doing North Carolina People on public television. And he said it got to a point where nobody remembered he was president of the university. They just remembered it from North Carolina People.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm beginning to get the crowd that's saying, "Oh, I love to hear you on Weekend Gardener."
Good. You know, people had would shoot to be on Bill Friday's show.
Oh, yes.
Just, I was blessed I should be. I've been in politics 28 years, three times, and I remember, Tom, I was on the day before Obama was elected, the day right after Obama was elected, and Bill Friday was had a lot to talk about that day, and I just fondly remember him, and when I think of the University of North Carolina, and it's all of its constituent universities, I think of Bill Friday. And you know what he loved to do? He loved to go to the K&W cafeteria.
Oh, yeah.
At what I still call Cameron Village.
Yeah.
And we'd meet there occasionally. And when I was attorney general, he was a man, Tom, who he got sued one time by the federal government over some sort of something. And he said, that hurts my feelings. I said, "Dr. Friday, you ought to, that doesn't mean that you're not doing a good job." I said, they're suing every university in the country now over something. Well, and I said, "We'll take care of you."
Well, the thing about it is, it's kind of like we were talking about with Charlie Getty. In 1972, when Bob Scott reformed the whole state-owned college system in North Carolina and the university system was created, they were trying to make this up as it went along. I mean, they were trying to create a brand new entity out of a whole bunch of disparate colleges throughout the state of North Carolina, each of which had their own constituencies, each of which wanted to go to the legislature and lobby. And this was not an easy task, developing and people don't think about that right now, but it took a lot of work, and it took a master statesman to be able to assuage egos and be able to get. And he, if you remember the night you were there, the night that we did the long interview with him on NC Spin.
Yes.
His one big disappointment was the fact that in order to get the approval of this through the legislature, they had to give the legislature the authority to name the Board of Governors. And
correct.
He said then
correct.
He knew that was a mistake, and it has proved to be so now. Joel is yelling in my ear, which means that, and I'm having a hard time hearing you, but I do hear the noise, and it's time for me to get out of here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Weekend Gardener. Tom Campbell sitting in for Mike Raley today. We've got Nelson Cox and Rufus Edmiston with us, and glad to have you with us also. It's been a good way to spend a Saturday morning because it's already up to something like 90 degrees. It's going to get to be 93, they're telling me. They're saying that there might be a chance of a thunderstorm or something tomorrow. I don't. It's cloudy today, but I don't see any rain in the forecast. So, good day to stay inside and stay cool and talk gardening.
Well, now, Tom, I want to ask Nelson a question. Pollination, is very hot weather detrimental to pollination?
I mean, you have the pollinators out there, so it depends on what kind of pollen they're trying to disperse. As I said earlier with tomatoes, the humidity can cause it to dry up. But then if you're dealing with things like coneflowers and zinnias and agastache and, you're going to have the bees and you're going to have them carrying pollen. So plants are getting pollinated, yes.
Okay.
But now, the heat can have some effect on certain crops.
Well, we certainly have seen them around in our yard.
Yes. They're going to be active.
Well, you know, we were also worried so much about the population of bees and the fact that all of these mosquito control companies and people with pesticides and so forth were killing off the population. But we've had a fairly good number of bees in the yard.
Yeah. I want to know, has anybody else seen what I used to call lightning bugs? They're coming back.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I'm so glad to see that. As a boy, we used to have a jar.
Yep.
And you
punch holes in it.
Punch holes in it.
Nelson, it was a mayonnaise jar. Thank you very much.
We used a large jelly jar.
No.
We used a quart canning jar.
It was a mayonnaise jar.
It was a mayonnaise jar.
And we would tie strings on them and on their little legs and let them fly around.
Go out and chase them at night, right at twilight.
And you can have that mayonnaise jar full of them and have almost like a lantern.
Yeah.
And who could catch the most was the big thing.
Yeah, and it was always disappointing when you'd wake up the next morning and he'd be lying dead in the bottom.
Dead. Poor things.
My mom would make us pour them out.
Joel, I didn't hear the name, but...
Rose.
Rose, okay. Oh, Rose.
Miss Rose.
Is on the line. Miss Rose, good morning to you.
Princeton.
Good morning to you, too.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing great.
Hope you're staying cool.
I did have a fall, so I have to use a walker right now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get over that, too.
Well, Rose, we were worried about you. Mike and I discussed it last week, and we hadn't heard from you. And we said, is she okay? So what a pleasant surprise to hear from you.
Well, thank you. I think since I fell, I've been into my own self instead of others. Which there's a poem about others that my minister used to recite.
Well, I hope you're staying cool.
I am. I thank goodness for air conditioning.
Amen.
Yeah.
Tom Rose, Rose Rhodes is a great propagator. She's learned all kind of air bombing. I don't mean
air
bombing.
Layering.
Air layering. And I've learned so much from her. And
she wrote a book.
Wrote a book, yeah.
Lives down in Princeton.
Yeah.
Well, Rose, you know that when you write a book, you're suddenly an expert.
I am.
Yeah, you're
a propagation expert.
Yeah, that's right.
You enjoy plants for sure. That's
awesome. It's just been a wonderful thing.
Well, it's fun. It's just so much fun to watch stuff grow.
Oh, yes. The only thing I wasn't successful in was Harry Louder's walking stick, the corliss.
Yeah.
I did learn, I found out if you stooled it, you could make it root.
Oh, okay. I've got a big one.
All the ones I've had are grafted. But
well, then don't you have to worry about suckers?
The suckers, exactly.
Right.
Well, mine must not be a graft then, because it's about, I'm telling you, it's about 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And 4 feet wide. I claim it's the biggest one in the county, but apparently that's not unusual.
No, there's huge coryopsis, yeah.
And I like them even better when there's no leaves on them. You know, you ever heard of Harry Lauder's walking stick?
Yeah.
Tom?
Yeah.
My grandson used to call them the scary plant.
Oh, yeah.
But I always keep some in a crystal, a crystal vase on my buffet.
Excellent.
That's my trademark, my neighbor said.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
But anyway, I'm interested in learning the botanical name of the red hot poker.
Nephovia.
Spell it.
It is K. Hang on, I'm looking it up.
Okay.
Nephovia. Let's see.
Sounds like some kind of mental illness.
Nelson, are you using the Google?
Something like that. It's slow to come up, but
is that one of your favorite plants,
it's
Rose?
It's K N I P H O F I A.
K N
K-N-I-P-H-O-F-I-A.
How do they get nephobia out of that?
Nephobia.
Okay.
Nephobia.
Well, I'll be able to look it up in my plant. Yeah.
K-N-I-P-H-O-F-I-A. Nephobia. Yep.
Wow.
My mother has one that's probably six feet across, and I bet there's 200 red hot pokers, you know, flower blooms spiked up on it. It is a monster. I mean, you could
dramatic.
You could lose two or three 2-year-olds in that plant. It's so big. It's huge.
Don't be planting ideas in people's heads.
That's right. But yeah, it's a great plant.
Yeah, I just love mine.
Excellent.
And I have something called Gloriosa lily.
Say that again.
Gloriosa.
Oh, the Gloriosa. Yes.
Yeah, like it's red and orange.
Okay. Yeah, that's such a neat plant.
And
how
that
tall
goes
is yours?
Good with that red hot poker.
Okay. Is yours like 3-4 feet tall or taller?
My lily.
Yes, the Gloriosa, yes.
Yeah, they just spread out in your garden, but you don't mind if they're invasive, but they're beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great plant.
Well, you have a solid white one.
No, I don't have that.
I've got, they come in solid white, don't they?
There are some whites, yes.
I've got that blooming.
Yeah, what I have just determined after listening to this show and being on this show, I don't have nearly enough land.
My mother's stargazer is like 6 feet tall. It's
good gracious.
Shorter than it was last year, but it's stunning always.
Wow.
Well, my son said I had a 3-acre garden, but now that's too big for me.
Yeah, well, I understand that. I understand that. Rose, thank you so much for calling us today.
Yeah, I love all of you.
All right.
Bless your
heart. Thank you, Rose. Good hearing from you.
Thank you so much.
We're
going to
take a break for some news and weather, and we'll be back with more Weekend Gardener in just a few moments. And good Saturday morning to you. Tom Campbell here sitting in for Mike Raley today on Weekend Gardener, along with Nelsa Cox and Rufus Edmiston. Been a great morning so far. We've had lots to talk about. I want to spend a few minutes talking about last night. And I don't, this is not a paid commercial or even one where I expect any kind of compensation or anything for it. But last night, the Angus Barn celebrated their 65th anniversary here in Raleigh. Now, those of us who are of a certain age can...
Why are you looking at me, Tom?
...can remember the Angus Barn back to the point where it first got started and have been going there for special occasions and good food for a long time. Van Uhr is now the... Van and Steve are now the owners of the Angus Barn. And last night, they put on an anniversary party, the likes of which this area has not seen ever. It was incredible. They had a 60s theme to the party. And there were 60s cars out front. There were people. Somewhere in North Carolina, there are no thrift stores with tie-dyed merchandise. Because I never saw so much of it before in my whole life.
Oh, my.
And they had... go-go girls. They had girls that were on skates, just skating around the whole place, and had a great DJ there playing 60s music. And he looked at me and he said, "You know all the words of these songs, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I think I do. I played them on the radio a lot." But then also they had a live band. It's called Midlife Crisis. And I am proud to say that the drummer of said band is my son. And they played a lot of 60s music as well as some more contemporary music. Food, my Lord, they had stations all over the pavilions, if you've ever been to the pavilions there. I mean, they had their short ribs. They had shish kebabs. They had I mean, it was just incredible, all the foods. Of course, the wonderful cheese that they always serve with the pizza dough crackers.
Yes, those are good.
Well, the story behind this, as I understand it, I think Van told me correctly, this is the story. They also used to own Darrell's, and they used to own some pizza inns. And one day at the pizza inn, they ran some dough through the pizza oven without putting any kind of toppings or anything on it. And it came out, and the dough was just crispy. And they broke it apart and tasted it and said, huh, that's a pretty tasty cracker. And that's how it got. That's my understanding of how it got started.
I'd love to get those at Darrell's on Hillsborough Street.
Oh, listen, let me tell you something.
Did you buy a bag?
Oh, yeah, I take them home. I go to the shop and take their cheese and the crackers home every time I go. But it was just, and Van is such a gracious host. I mean, she is, I think, has been the restaurateur of the year for the North Carolina Restaurant Association for years and years and years. But she's such a gracious host and just such a lovely person.
And so giving.
She had a mini skirt on.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, okay, let's go back now. In the 60s, she was a teenager during this period of time, I think. And so this was her era. And she was out there. In fact, she actually sang one of the 60s songs.
Wow.
I never heard her sing before. But it was just a marvelous evening. A lot of people that were there. And again, it was just one of these things where not only did your belly get full, but your psyche got full, too.
That's
because
awesome.
There were so many people there, and everybody was just having a great time. So many dances and they had two stands set up where they had goat. You remember the TV show Hullabaloo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the go-go girls that they had dancing and so forth.
Oh,
well, they had those. And I mean, it was just a very engaging and wonderful evening. And we just had a ball. We just absolutely enjoyed it. And I think everybody else did, too. But 65 years.
That's amazing.
Not
awesome.
Many restaurants can tout that kind of history. And the reason for it, of course, is you're never disappointed. You always have a great experience when you go there. And a large part of it is Van, but an awful lot of it is also wonderful staff that they have there. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you about it. It was the kind of evening. I hope they'll do this again sometime because it was such a great evening. And they've done it before in the past, and the Pavilions is just a marvelous place to go. I was worried it was going to be so hot, but they have this big, huge oscillating fan up in the ceiling. You've seen it.
Oh, yes.
It kept everything pretty cool.
Well, that's where Brother Mike Raley got his Hall of Fame broadcaster there.
Yep, you're right. People use it for all sorts of occasions, special occasions.
Well, think, too, that they've... your family brought us the 42nd Street Oyster Bar, which is
They took it over. And made it great. And he's got many of us who grew up in North Carolina will remember the original kicking machine that was down around Newport for years. Anyway, great evening.
Well, I want to hear about that.
I did some work for Thad Year back in the 80s. Pretty cool.
Back with more in just a moment. Welcome back to Weekend Gardener. Glad to have you with us today. We've got some callers who we'd like to talk with, and we'll take them in the order in which they call. Dave, good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Hope you are.
Well, I'm fine. I can't compete with Angus Barn and go-go dancers and stuff, though.
It is hard to compete with that, I will have to tell you.
hey, I got a question for you. So, sapsucker birds. What? Why do they peck on a tree? aside from looking for sap? I mean, is it like a woodpecker where they're looking for bugs, or are there bugs infesting it already, or?
I'm not sure. I think they're just going for the sweet sap. And it doesn't have to be a woodpecker. I mean, there are birds that by nature just are going to, you know, make those circles around the trees just pecking in, trying to get the sap to flow.
And does that do any permanent damage to the tree?
Not usually. It depends on the age. I've had a sugar maple. That's had five sugar maples on my garden hut property in Fuquay, and they would always target that tree, even when it got up to be like a 3-4 inch caliper. So every year the same. It was a small little bird. I don't know my birds that well, but it was a small little bird that would just make noise, and he would always be just pecking the little circles around the tree. And, you know, again, this tree was there for, well, still there, but the 22 years I was there, and so it didn't seem to affect it. They're not piercing into the cambium, and so you still have the water and nutrients that are able to go up through the xylem, up through the tree, and vice versa, travel back down the tree. So it's just really getting the epidermis, if you will, the trunk, the bark.
And Dave, if you're like me, it's kind of an oddity and unusual to watch, but after a while, they kind of get on your nerves.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, we got a couple of Bartlett pears, and I know the prejudice against Bartlett pears in this group. But they were there. I didn't plant them. I'm going to go.
Are they Bradford pears or Bartlett pears?
Yeah, Bradford. Yeah, that's Bradford is a different animal.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're the crappy ones. Which one am I looking at?
The Bradford.
Sorry.
Let them peck away.
Well, you see, I don't want them coming down. I don't want them coming down or having an issue with them.
They genetically will on their own,
yeah.
So I wouldn't worry.
They have
a short
lifespan.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're starting to get toward the end of ours. But one of them split and came down the other day, and we noticed all the sap sucker peck holes in them.
Well, let me tell you part of the problem. So the Bradford pear produces those lollipop, whatever, silhouette, blooming white, beautiful flowers. Everybody loves them. Certainly the females can be stinky, fatigued. But here's the thing. After the flowers, you get the little bitty pears. And so the birds go in. You think, oh, okay, we're feeding the birds. But then the birds go and poop them out,
yes,
everywhere. And then what happens is it comes up as a collary pear. And the collary pear is the one that the Bradford pear is grafted onto, and the desirable part. But what happens is it reverts back to the parent plant, the grafted plant. And so that grows up everywhere and can continue to take over pastures, this, that, and the other. And it has thorns that are about 2 to 3 inches long. That's the problem with the Bradford pear, is the fruits that scatter from the birds, and it just comes up everywhere. It can take over pasture land, can take over woodlands. So that's where the danger lies. And so, you know, my garden center, I learned this many years ago. So we stopped selling that plant about 25 years ago. Other garden centers or nurseries may have, and it made a ton of money for our industry. But for me, it was an ethical situation.
And the thing about these birds is that they're indiscriminate poopers.
They are.
They like to poop on my deck.
Well, and I would rather a woodpecker be on a tree than on my house.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, have we told you more about sapsucker birds than you want to know?
I'm a sponge of knowledge, so I love everything you guys tell.
Well, thank you for calling in this morning.
David, how's your Rose of Sharon doing?
Rufus, let me tell you. I put it in. It was coming in great. And about 2 weeks ago, a deer ate it to the stalk.
It'll come back. Root
well, there's more where that comes
don't
from.
Don't worry about it. It will
all
return.
Right.
Thank you, Dave.
The next time we do a remote, come by. I'll have you one.
All right.
Thank you. Will it come back from the stalk?
Yes.
Or do I
yeah,
that
it will.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
good.
Dave.
Well, all right. See you guys.
Appreciate you calling. One of our favorite people is on the line.
That wouldn't be JC, would it?
That would be JC.
Oh,
and happy birthday to you, JC Knowles.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear JC.
Happy birthday to you.
Now he's not too happy about having a birthday after that rendition.
Aww.
Yeah, that's. I was about to say that was going to be my last one, but I hope not. Really.
Oh, no.
Well, you certainly won't have any more like it, that's for sure.
Well, I tell you, this year I have had 4 birthday parties. And we had a big one at Pam's restaurant yesterday at lunchtime.
Oh, great.
Good Southern cooking.
And the people they sang and had balloons. And,
that's great.
That caricature thing of mine, it was just a great day yesterday.
I'm glad to hear it. You deserve it.
Well, thank you. And I heard Mike wish me a happy birthday on the first hour program. And Tom Campbell, it's been a long time since I've talked to you.
It has been, good friend.
And you went to a lot of my auctions. And
yes, sir.
I listened to you religiously on NC Spin.
Well, thank you, sir. JC has forgotten more about North Carolina history than I'll ever learn, that's for sure. And the thing that's so interesting to me is JC is a guy who comes up with some of the most interesting factoids about things that have happened in North Carolina. I mean, it's just always, and there's great stories behind it.
I liked his story when he went to Norway about froze to death.
Yeah, but, I enjoy it. I do. I've had a great life, and turning 97 today is a milestone for me.
Well, I think I want to be like you when I grow up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's been fun. I've had some problems, but the good Lord's blessed me, and he's blessing me now to make people happy with the little publications and things that I put out. So I enjoy life, and let me. I think, Tom, you mentioned earlier that this is really a garden show, but I think every one of your listeners, particularly today, they're just tickled to death to go down memory lane.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's kind of like, and you and I are old enough to remember, Rufus too, when network radio back in the 40s and 50s before television, and you'd have shows like the Don McNeil Breakfast Club and Arthur Godfrey show in the morning, and so, and it was kind of the folksy kind of radio, like Charlie started with Ask Your Neighbor. You remember those days?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And then Bart took it over after a while. Rittner, and then Mike did it for a while, as a matter of fact. But it's a kind of thing where people can gather and enjoy company and feel like they're neighbors with each other, even though. And one of the great things about radio, and I've said this many, many times, I still prefer radio over television because people cannot see who you are, what you look like, and they're able to form their own mental image of what you might look like. And sometimes that's better for me anyway. Yeah. As somebody said, I have a wonderful face for radio.
Yeah, and I go back when Phil Ellis had the Screaming Man on the Street.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
On Friday.
Yes, sir.
In front of the courthouse. Never will forget it.
Yes, sir.
I never. JC, do you remember something like Sergeant Preston of the Yukon?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sky King and the Lone Ranger.
The phantom, only the phantom knows.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of minds of men?
Yeah.
Shadow knows.
Who knows what lurks in the arms of the wicked?
Well, radio, like Tom says, allows you to imagine. And a lot of times I don't like to see people. I've been shocked sometimes when I see a radio personality in person. You're shocked sometimes.
One of the worst examples of that ever, and JC, you were around during this period of time, from 10 to midnight every night. It was on PTF for a number of years, and it moved over to Kix and then back to PTF. was Our Best to You. Do you remember Jimmy Capps' show?
Oh, Jimmy Capps, absolutely.
And he had this beautiful, wonderful, deep voice, and he'd play these love songs, and he'd recite poetry and so forth like that. And you could just imagine this guy standing up in front of one of these old RCA 44BX microphones that was dressed in a tuxedo and so forth like that. And then you'd meet the guy. And it just absolutely cracked your delusions because he wasn't, he was short, he was kind of dumpy, he, you know, had he just wasn't anything like what you imagined him to be. And that's the magic of radio, is you can see things in your mind, whereas television doesn't leave anything to the imagination, it just, you see it.
You worry about how somebody's dressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah. I bet over the years I was on Bart Whitman's program at night.
I remember his talk show at night. Yeah.
And I want to, and of course, do you allow me? I want to mention Charlie Gaddy, too, because he was a dear friend. When he was on radio and then when he moved to TV and he had that morning show.
Yeah.
And I was on there, I guess, 10 or 12 times. Talking about North Carolina history, antiques, and I have a picture of him sitting there in the studio discussing some of the antiques I brought to show. And then in 2012, the Apex, a gentleman in Apex, he has an international film festival, and there is a Charlie Gaddy Lifetime Achievement Award. And I have a picture of Charlie presenting that award to me.
Good.
Wow. Awesome.
It was 2022, I believe it was. Mm. So I had lunch with Charlie about a month and a half ago, and we were planning on making it every month.
Yeah. Well,
he was a great
one
man.
One of his nieces spoke. And, you know, he and Nancy never had any children. One of his nieces spoke, and it was just delightful hearing her tell the memories of Charlie as an uncle. JC, you would have loved it. Who says you would have loved that funeral? Yeah, but you would really have loved being there Thursday because it was such an uplifting experience. And everything everybody says about Charlie is absolutely true. But it's true for you too, JC. And we wish you a happy, happy 97th birthday.
Well, I really appreciate it. And a man, y'all said early when I was mentioned, said he may call.
Yep.
And this man called me and he said, JC, if you do call today, tell that joke about the man and his wife who went to the Holy Land. And he said, I'm going to call some of my friends and tell them to listen.
Well, tell it.
Well, this man's wife, for years and years, she told him, I want to visit the Holy Land before I die, but he never would take her. And, of course, after years and years of pounding him and worrying him to death about it, he finally agreed to take her. And so they got to Jerusalem, and on the third day, while they were touring, she got sick and died. And the undertaker told her husband, said, well, we can ship his body back to the United States, but it'll cost $2,000, but you can bury her here, and it's only $500. And the husband said, send her back to the United States. And the undertaker said, why in the world do you want to waste so much money like that? He said, look, I read the story. Years ago, y'all buried a man here 2,000 years ago, and he came back, and I ain't taking no chance.
Oh, JC, we're going to let you end on that one, son. Thank you, sir.
Y'all have a good day. And
happy birthday.
Same to you. Same to you.
Happy birthday, JC.
Thank you. Y'all. I love all of you.
We love you too, JC. Herb is also here. Before we have to go to news, Herb, sorry for keep making you wait so long. Glad to talk to you today. Well, maybe.
Cariño.
There you are.
Buenos días. Buenos dias.
I know. Marie thought.
Okay. I don't know what's going on in there in my headphones. I'm hearing Spanish. I don't know what it is. Joel, has Herb gotten...
can you hear me?
Yeah. There we go.
I'll be real quick. I just called good morning to say happy birthday to JC. Wow. I'm at a meeting, but I wanted to say happy birthday to him. And I know you're up against it, so if you have time, I'll tell you something real quick.
Oh, go ahead. We've got a minute or so.
First of all, I'm just on my way down to the Outer Banks area.
Great.
And the corn is between 7 and 10 feet tall. There was 6 inches of rain the other day, so it's going to be a corn season down here.
I'm so glad to hear that.
The other thing is that Rufus, I'm going to send you a picture of your Rufus tomato. It's coming along pretty good.
Oh, good. Mine is sort of pitiful.
Mine looks good. I have a Rufus, too.
Wait a minute. We got a Rufus hot dog. We got a Rufus tomato. What else have we got a Rufus?
A Rufus way at Phil Campbell's.
Yeah.
There are some other things, but I'm going to let you go. And I wish to JC a happy birthday. That was the reason I called.
Okay.
And look, I know he's listening. So, JC, by the way, my mother is 97. And if you're interested, that's no joke. Y'all have a great day.
I bet you in all the years of this program, we've never done matchmaking before.
Oh, that is beautiful.
While we wait to see the results of that, we're going to take a break for news, and we'll be back after the news with more Weekend Gardener.